Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We have Cynthia in the middle studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
I actually don't know who's playing.
It's San Francisco and...
Kansas City.
There you go. As my phone hit it perfectly right
and it
there.
Is this Sunday or next Sunday?
It's this Sunday.
It's Groundhog
Thank
Day
God,
for the
finally.
Rest of us.
It's this Sunday. We've been waiting 2 weeks for it. All right. And, of course, on the other end of the line, Janet Manko will give us her Super Bowl pick. Right, Janet?
San Francisco.
There you go.
Yeah. And I did know who was playing and that it was
No, you handled that beautifully, I got to tell you.
She knows.
All right. Well, and by the way, I've got to make my pick tomorrow with Mike Kazi, but it's going to be San Francisco.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. We'll see.
Let's go right to the paper this week. And actually, the big story is right on the top left-hand side. No action after 3-hour middle school sports space-off. And that meeting where I watched the whole 3 hours and some odd minutes forced me to speak to people from the different towns and actually submit a letter, Janet, to the Lakeville Journal, because you could see things are really starting to deteriorate and over a topic that really – shouldn't even be getting in the way. So it's an interesting story, Cynthia.
It's an epic story. And as Marshall and I were discussing before we went on air, there's a lot more at stake here than the middle school sports program, which essentially everybody feels like there's nothing essentially wrong with the idea of having a regional middle school elementary program. It's a power struggle, and it's a financing budget struggle. And that's what's happening here. And there's a meeting of Region 1 on Monday night that we anticipate is going to have some interesting consequences that will relate to this. But really a very, very long, very emotional meeting that Patrick Sullivan covers beautifully. And if you don't want to watch the video, you can read his article, which sums it up perfectly.
Or do both, really. I watched the whole video, too. And really, you don't have to watch the whole thing. You can listen. Probably you know the people who are speaking, and it really gives insight into where we are right now with our Region 1 situation, because this is just one of, the first effort to regionalize services in Region 1, and it will not be the last.
You know,
it's
interesting because the region, everybody's always said about building like a middle school or something like that, and that's never going to happen in this region because it's a region where towns used to have their own high schools, and now they have their own elementary schools, and no one wants to give that up. Not one town wants to give that power up.
No, right.
So it's the struggle between that and between everything being regionalized, but it'll be interesting to see how it pans out over the course of the next couple of weeks.
And if, everyone in charge can cooperate, learn some cooperation, the way these kids do in team sports.
And
as Marshall was saying, a lot of it comes down to whose budget does it go into and who controls that budget and who has dominance over these choices. And there's a few different players, and they haven't, as Janet said, as we're moving toward a regionalization in many things, the question is going to be who's in charge.
After sitting and talking, and the reason I wrote the letter is if you, they don't have to lose any time if they decide to say, okay, you know what, we're going to go to each local board of education, ask them to put their share of this in the budget, the schools that want to participate for next year, it can be done instantaneously. There's not a board of education in one of the towns that will not take that on because it's still paid by the taxpayer. So I just think that they've got a way out and a quick way out to relieve this pressure, and hopefully they'll take it.
I don't know why they didn't think of that.
Well, it goes back to what you were saying, power. It goes back to power. It really does. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to another story. And, Cynthia, it's a story that you've done, Why the Homeless Count in Litchfield County.
And it's a double entendre headline, which is Why the Homeless Count in Litchfield County, because there are homeless here. I had called up Maria Horn. This is a classic newspaper conversation where I said, well, let's get together and just catch up and, tell me what you're doing before the session begins. And she said, oh, well, I'm going to be out all night doing this homeless count. I was like, I'm totally coming with you to that. It was so interesting. And, a compassionate person, a very interesting outing with counters all through Litchfield County, part of a national program so that the Federal Agency of Housing and Urban Development can get a rough sense of how many people actually have no housing. So they choose the coldest time of the year because they get the lowest census count. So the night that we went out, I think it was 10 degrees when we were out, And what they're looking for is people who really can't, even in the worst possible circumstances, find a place to sleep. So I actually don't have the final count yet. I'm going to call up and get it. And so this is a two-part story. It explains a lot about a place in Torrington that is a center that welcomes and aids the homeless, a lot of the restrictions and regulations that stand between the homeless and support. And next week we'll have the end of that story and the total count for our county.
All right. Another interesting story, and they're at it again at the Freund's farm. Yeah. Amanda Freund there with a pre-cooling system. More information about, as we call it nowadays, agribusiness.
Right. And so this is actually not just about Freund's farm, although yeah. we do write about them quite a lot because they're very innovative over there. But there was a symposium for farmers in Torrington at what used to be the UConn campus. And officials came in and sort of said to farmers, here's ways that you can get funding. We're trying to push you in the direction of renewable energy. And, of course, Freund's Farm is really at the vanguard of that in our region.
And let's go over to the other story by you, Cynthia. Yeah, there still is time to get a flu shot.
Right, and you should ask your doctor, of course, or talk to SVNA or one of the other agencies that provides them. But some of the stores in the area, CVS and Rite Aid over in North Canaan, still have some of the flu shot left, and I think we've passed the peak. It felt like there was, when we first wrote this story, it felt like everybody in our office was sick and everybody we knew was sick. But, you know, ask your doctor if they think it's, especially with all the fears of the Chinese virus coming in.
You know, here's where I show my age. I miss the fact that you used to be able to get this in your doctor's office, but right now, it just about, it makes it so much easier on the doctors because there's not as, they've got such a big workload
yeah.
that you get sent out to one of the pharmacies that where you can get it, or SVNA or organizations like that as
yep.
well. Bernie Drew, spruce gum and its sticky problems.
So at this time of year, I'm thinking very, very deeply about maple sap. It's going to carry me through February as I get ready for the maple sap gathering. But Bernie's writing about birch sap and spruce sap and how sticky they are. And if you've ever tried to clean up some of the evergreen tree debris in your yard, you can get that sticky sap all over your hands. So he talked about some of the uses, including making arrowheads.
All right. I want to go on to move to the inside pages. And on page A3, how to keep control calmly as a parent.
Right. And I think it's something that once, you know, as Marshall and I and Janet were all veterans of the parenting where you at a certain point you realize like, oh, yeah, it's actually better if you just keep your cool. But an excellent new book by Delia Moore. She gave a talk at the D.M. Hunt Library. And always a good reminder in all your relations with other people. Some very good tips in her article. And Janet, do you want to talk about summer camps?
Sure. And on that same page, as we're thinking about kids and boy, summer is just not too far away, especially when you're trying to plan for what your kids will be doing at that time. We have our summer camp section, and it is just great to think about, you know, what kids do in the summer at these camps in this area, and there are lots of options. So read through those and start planning if you haven't already.
People do start signing up right around this time of year.
Yeah.
All right.
On
page A4, the top half of it is an art page. First of all, the Colleen McGuire painting of the Sharon Shopping Center is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But then you have the story about art and history in Kent.
So Peter Wojtok, who's a very famous sculptor in his own right and is sort of connected to Kent and Wasaic. I think Billy Morrison is, I think Billy is still his agent. I'm not sure. But Peter is back in town from Thailand where he casts his bronze sculptures, his massive bronze sculptures, and gave a talk at the Kent Memorial Library that was supposed to be part of their annual meeting and got delayed by the snowstorm on January 18th. So even though Peter is this very interesting person and does this very interesting work, what he chose to talk about was the history of art in Kent and specifically about Paul Suttman, who I'd never heard of. We all know Virginia Bush Suttman, who's such a tireless advocate for affordable housing in her town and just an amazing woman. And who knew? Her husband was this phenomenally interesting sculptor named Paul Suttman. You look him up on the web or, you know, of course, read Lance Christensen's really good article about Wojtok and about Paul Suttman.
All right. Right below that, a couple of stories about Sharon. We had a video on the community hall, and I think what's great about Brent going along and filming that community hall, I think a lot of people in Sharon don't understand and know the inside, and it really was really revealing.
Yeah, when my daughter was little, we used to do Girl Scouts there, so I feel fairly familiar with that space. And it's a wonderful space, a beautiful little building right next to Sharon Center School. I think a lot of people don't actually know which building we're talking about, but it's the kind of bungalow-style building with the pillars next to Sharon Center School on Main Street. And it's got Matt Meddy's office, the recreation director, and a lot of teens use it as sort of an escape from sometimes difficult family situations under the guidance of Matt and other recreation people. Girl Scouts meet there, Boy Scouts meet there. There's a lot that goes on, and it's really needed some supportive maintenance, and the town is kind of looking not only to spruce it up, but to maybe get in there and do some deep digging.
All right, and a story about the finance board in position in Sharon.
And of course, this is quite a long story for something which normally would get maybe a sentence in a larger story, but there is, again, there's a complicated struggle here for what seems to be power on the Board of Finance, Board of Selectmen, and where you have two Republican selectmen and a new Democrat selectman, and they're debating who gets to appoint an additional person on the Board of Finance, which, of course, there are those who say the Board of Finance is the most important board in any town because you can make all the plans you want, but if the Board of Finance says no, it's not going to happen.
All right, a story also about Sharon considering a marketing plan for Sharon Central School. It's very funny, though, because at the end, a board member's question, what can she do that a volunteer couldn't do for free? What crossed my mind was when I was a kid, you had the PTO, and parents banded together and did things like that. It's just a totally different time.
Well, it's also, you know, they do have a PTO at Sharon, and you know, they do fundraising for different little programs and stuff. But Janet Carlson is the most extraordinary person, and you know, she helped me and several other people from our office sign up for Access Health CT, and I kind of said to people, you have to go see Janet because she's so savvy and she just kind of knows how to get stuff done. So she's got a marketing company, and she has offered to do marketing programs for all the towns because one of the biggest anxieties around here is that the school populations are shrinking. So, you know, interesting. We'll see whether or not it helps because I don't know where they're going to be marketing to. It's not like you want to take kids out of Cornwall School and drag them over to Sharon School. It's, you know, we have to figure out where these children are going to come from. But Janet's pretty smart. So all the different towns are talking about whether they should hire her to do some kind of marketing plans for their, either for the region or for each individual school.
Let's go to Cornwall, where none other than Selectman's Clerk Joyce Hart was honored.
And I should know this, but of course the Hart family is very important in Cornwall. I don't really know how Joyce fits into that or if she's completely unrelated, but she's been in that town hall for many, many years and just a solid support for the selectmen and finally retired. And Gordon Ridgway joked, well, he didn't really joke. He said they made it until noon on her first day off before they had to call her and ask her for help. So nice to be needed. And, of course, budget season beginning in Cornwall. And just, gosh, who doesn't love budget season? It's just everybody's favorite time of year.
All right, a couple other stories out of Cornwall. One, the search for a new principal is underway. And you had Burns Night.
Right. And so, of course, Bernie Drew, our beloved editor who just retired, was a huge fan of they call him the Scottish national poet, Robert Burns. And I guess Gordon, I hadn't realized this, apparently this started as sort of a private party at Gordon Ridgway's house, and he would wear his family tartan, and they would make a haggis, which is the challenging national dish of Scotland. And so they had a much larger party at Cornwall Library, and Gordon wore his tartan, and other people wore kilts and tartans. And they served a more modernized version of haggis, something that maybe was a little more appealing to people.
And the ice is in on the lake.
But just barely.
It's going to go out again, and it'll be back again.
This is not a year for ice skating, or ice fishing.
It was a couple of years ago where the ice went in and out. I remember, not a couple of years, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, where the ice came in and out, I think, twice.
You know, you and I don't really remember this, but you and I know that many years ago the ice was so thick that they would harvest it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's really happening anymore in our world. And so, of course, every year that goes by, the ice in is a little more tenuous. But definitely do not go ice skating and do not go ice fishing.
All right. And Patrick's story on drones in the sky, below the surface, and in the future.
Yeah, interesting talk at the Scoville Library last weekend by a guy from Bard College over in Red Hook. Talking about drones and like who knew drones don't just fly through the air, they go through the water, and this guy is an expert on them, and I learned stuff that was a little chilling. It's a very interesting, chilling, informative story, definitely worth reading.
Let's go to the opinion and viewpoint pages, the editorial, new plans for the Lakeville Journal Company publications in 2020.
Right. We're doing our best to communicate with our readers what our plans are coming out of our survey and membership campaign at the end of last year, and things are going to change. We describe there how they are changing for now, and certainly still look for any input. It's interesting. I just got a phone call yesterday from a lady who lives up on Mount Washington, actually, and shares her Lakeville Journal with all her neighbors. And, you know, she called to give us her point of view, and we welcome that, and we'll continue to communicate as time goes forward and keep an eye out for events in our towns where we will ask people to come and meet with us, and we'll, you know, have some interesting time to share views. And so we will also do that with open houses at our building in Falls Village.
And you have lots of different letters this week.
We do. Isn't that nice, actually? And so we have a letter from a fellow over in North Canaan who found help wasn't there when he needed it from our state representative. We have Catherine Palmer Payton talking about local volunteer efforts and how we need to support them. Bruce Thompson on the Senate trial. Fran Besmer on also national topics, and Marshall Miles on 5 easy steps to implementing a Region 1 middle school sports program. It's interesting because, you know, that was what you had at the top of it when you sent it, and I thought, well, we have to be able to shorten that headline, but there wasn't really a good way. We want people to read that, to get a handle on what's going on, and certainly read Patrick's story and watch the video.
All right, and turning back to pages, Roland Beers is on the sick list with
the grip. Yeah. When's the last time you heard that?
My grandmother when I was a kid. Okay. That's what I love about turning back the pages. I really do.
It's like that great sign.
I know. That was 100 years ago, and I'm thinking, was there an actual sick list, you know? I mean, or are they just, you know, being sort of creative, saying, oh, he's ill, but...
Just imagine if you had a sick list nowadays, all the lawsuits that would...
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. Just couldn't do it. Not with names. So, yeah, it is. That's the charm of looking at how things were back then.
I'm sorry, I burst out laughing without even looking at it closely, and I saw the map that Peter Steiner...
It's so funny.
Peter Steiner really outdid himself this week. I burst out laughing, too, when I saw it. I just thought it was perfect for this week. So you cannot describe it. You have to see it. It's a visual. There's no other way to get that impact than looking at a cartoon. So, yeah, don't miss Peter Steiner's cartoon this week. We have Tony Peel on Justice Stevens versus the Roberts Court. We have Carol Asher on the inequity in wealth in our nation and the world. So yeah, it's this is a really interesting piece that she put together with lots of information that, you know, gives back up to what she's saying. And we have Ralph Nader on Nancy Pelosi's choice not to go for all-out removal of Donald Trump.
It's probably one of the favorite editions of the Lakeville Journal every year, because in this edition you have the big insert that goes with the Salisbury Winter Sports Association Jump Fest.
That's right. The program that our staff and the volunteers over at SWASA put together, it's a lot of work. And when you look through the program, take note of the advertising, because all these volunteers fan out over the tri-state region and pull in all these ads of support for the ski jumps and for the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. It's just a great weekend that's coming up on February 7, 8, and 9, and this is the perfect lead into it, so don't miss it.
And it's just something that you can hang on to. It's really nice. It's always a great supplement, and it always tells you, gives you a week warning. 1 week warning.
And a lot of history. It's so great as far as understanding what the history is. And looking back over not just the year, but many years, this is the 94th annual Salisbury Ski Jumps, which is amazing, you know, that we have so many volunteers in the town of Salisbury who keep this going and who are so enthusiastic about it and so knowledgeable. It's just grown and grown, and it's just great.
Volunteers at Salisbury Winter Sports Association are historical. That's all you can say about
that. That's right, and there are plenty of pictures of them and the jumpers and everyone in this piece. So
All right.
And give it a read.
We can go into Compass. We have about four and a half minutes left here.
I want to point out two advertisements in Compass. One is our membership model. It's not too late to join us as a member. People are still joining up, and explanation of how to do it is on the first page of Compass. And it's not just the money. We want to know that you want to have a local newspaper and that we're giving you what you want. So people are often sending us little notes. We love to read your notes. And also, my first ad that I've ever designed with Lou Timelot from the Falls Village Sawmill, which Lou is so funny, so you have to read his text there. So we've got voguing coming up. If you're looking at that photo and thinking, how does that guy do that with his arms, then you can find out, because that's a big part of voguing. It's not just the dancing. It's this unbelievable joint movement in the shoulders and the wrists and the arms. And Kotzbühel, which is the famous dance center out in Hudson, has 2 days of voguing workshops and a vogue dance that actually I think my daughter and I are going to go to because it sounds really fun. It's February 13th and 14th. On the 13th, there's going to be a talk by Richard Move, who is a very famous sort of dance historian. He's over at NYU. He'll be talking about the history of voguing, but probably the most thrilling part will be Jason Rodriguez from the TV show Pose and some other TV shows, and he'll be doing demonstrations. And then the following night, Jason's house, his voguing house, known as the House of Eon, will be dancing at their Love is a Love Ball, and the proceeds from the weekend of activities goes to the LGBTQ+ group in Kingston. So definitely read that article by Jeffrey Seitz, who's a young man who's recently joined us as a writer. Fred Baumgarten, who we love and who is not in the area anymore but is still writing for us and is such an interesting person writing about classical music. If you have any questions about why you should go see Beethoven's Eroica at Bard College, you should read Fred, because he makes it so exciting. You just, like, I can't imagine not wanting to go see this performance. So that is coming up at Bard February 8th and February 9th. And then Catherine Noren, just one of the loveliest people who lives in Cornwall, just an exquisite photographer, really warm, textural, inviting images of everyday things, and she comes at them from a funny sort of Degas-like angle where you're sort of not quite seeing it face on. You're looking at it askew a little bit, and so she's got details of still lifes, but also a lot of details of architectural buildings and the architecture on buildings. So information on that in Compass.
And you also have the
okay.
I was going to say you also have Crescendo, which has in the short time they've been around. It's amazing how large and long their season is and how diverse it is. They have two concerts coming up this weekend on the 1st and 2nd, one at St. James Place and then one at their new winter home, the United Methodist Church in Lakeville.
That's a bunch of volunteers that rival SWASA for being super dedicated. There's a lot of them. They work so hard. And, of course, under the guidance of the very charismatic Christine Gevert, who is tireless and creative and inventive and incredibly talented.
And Janet?
Yeah, and there's the rest of calendar, too, but I wanted to talk about Crescendo, too, because it is, this time of year, it's always difficult because we're accustomed to so much activity in the summertime, but, boy, places like Crescendo bring that creative energy all year long. Christine is amazing. Everyone is amazing who plays and sings for Crescendo, and these concerts are not to be missed.
And what's interesting in our region, if you look with the Sharon Playhouse and also Mr. Baruti with what he's doing with his company to bring year-round entertainment, and even you look up at Tanglewood now, and they are planning.
There's a lot going on.
Because they've all realized that there's just a dearth of things that don't happen in the wintertime. And now those things are starting to turn around and happen.
And Lloyd Baruti and his Showtown, as you mentioned, their next activity is February 22nd. It's a jazz brunch at the Interlaken. And the two chefs at the Interlaken were just honored to be part of the James Beard Annual Dinner up here. And Deb Alexinas will be doing a profile of the two chefs and talking a little bit about the upcoming jazz brunch, which has a large jazz group, including Peter McCarron, our beloved local.
And also a reminder, this weekend on Sunday, you can benefit the chore service by going to the benefit brunch at the Interlaken on Sunday in between 11 and 1.
Interlaken really stepping up.
It's the chore service this week. It was SWASA last week.
It's such a great program the Interlaken is doing for the community.
All right. Well, these stories and more in the Lakeville Journal on your newsstands or home delivery. And they are working on their website as we speak. And
that's right.
And sometime in the first quarter, hopefully, that will be up full and running again. All right, guys. We'll speak to you next weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Have a good week.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, their website address is tricornernews.com, tricornernews.com.